We rejoice greatly. God has given Bishop Renis Ponaya, your bishop, all right, a word for Singapore. What is this word? 2018, year of prayer. 2019, year of proclamation. 2020, year of personal discipleship. Now, interestingly, before I heard any of this, I had this inkling deep within me when I was seeking God that we are in a very unique 3-year window. What is this 3-year window? For me, at that time when I was waiting on God, the three things that stood out were number one, 2017, year of Reformation, the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Then 2018 being the 40th anniversary of the Billy Graham rallies here in Singapore that really transformed the spiritual landscape of Singapore. And then 2019, Singapore's bicentennial, the 200th year of our founding by Sir Stamford Raffles, who opened the door of this nation to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was in 2016 when I was waiting on God, I had this inkling. We are in a very unique 3-year window. Very special 3-year window. You know? How could all these anniversaries be back to back? The amazing way of God. As I prayed, a distinct impression came on me. I received this. I didn't hear an audible voice. But when I know, when God speaks, the distinct impression would not go away. What did I hear? I heard God impress upon my mind and heart and spirit, we had better behave ourselves. In response to this three-year window, we had better behave ourselves. Meaning, this is not something we take lightly. We cannot be casual about it. Instead, we must be awake. We must be attentive, alert, and active. Get our acts together, hear, and obey God. So when I heard Bishop share about 2018 year of prayer, 2019 year of proclamation, 2020 being year of personal discipleship, I was deeply moved. In fact, I was shaken. I felt undone because I felt the Lord was speaking so loudly and clearly. It is a timely word that resonated not just only with me, but also with the Love Singapore leadership team, as well as many other pastors and leaders of our city. We receive it as a God word for this unique window in our nation's history. The church had better pay attention. So we joyfully align. We honor God and His desires for Singapore. We fall in, we focus, we flow along, we flow with. We do our best and we give our all. Fervently, mindful of a powerful prophetic scripture in Zechariah chapter 8. Let's read it aloud together. Zechariah 8, 20 to 23, beginning with verse 20. 1, 2, 3. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the rope of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You notice I highlighted in the earlier slide, let us go at once. Let us go at once, the earlier slide. And then the second slide that says, let us go with you. It is because we say, let us go at once to seek the Lord, that there's something happening. Let us go with you. Peoples will come and take a hold of our the rope of our garment and say, I see that God is with you. Let me go with you. Zechariah 8 is a very powerful prophetic word declaring a new season. If you read the entire chapter of Zechariah 8, you'll realize the fabulous promises. God returning in manifest presence and power to bless and favor His people. We see spiritual awakening on a very large scale. It talked about citywide, nationwide, worldwide. It talks about peoples from one city going to peoples of another city, turning back to God. We see an amazing prayer movement in those few verses, characterized by a spirit of unity. Let us, together. And characterized by a great sense of urgency. Go at once. Not when I feel it's convenient or when I feel like it, but now let us go at once because God is visiting us. So here is a great company returning to God, drawing closer to God, yearning for more of God, seeking God with renewed vigor and with renewed vision. This great company is provoking one another, encouraging one another to contend for a revival. A revival of what? I believe it is first and foremost of a personal relationship with God, a right relationship with God, a revival of a new norm marked by intimacy with God, a new passion for God. Not casual Christianity, not consumeristic Christianity, what's in it for me Christianity, but all for God. No one could have dreamed of a better outcome. God's people in revival, characterized by God's presence, were attracting the multitudes. We see a shift in the spiritual climate. Open heavens, open hearts. We see sweeping harvest, and it's a tenfold harvest. You read it in the scripture. No longer just each one bring one, but this time it is a new norm. We see a new norm. Each one attracting 10. Verse 23 talked about that. 10 men from many nations will take firm hold of the hem, of the garment of a Jew, of a believer, and say, God is with you. I want to follow your God. A fabulous outcome, because it started with, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. It all starts with personal awakening. A personal awakening. I myself am going. This year of prayer, God is calling each one of us back, first of all, to Himself. Prayer is ultimately about our relationship with God. My prayer life is a very good gauge of my relationship with God. Pay attention to the two phrases, entreat the favor of the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. Entreat the favor of the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. This year of prayer, it is a call to entreat. It is a call to seek. I've heard Bishop Renner say many times, seek God in this year of prayer. Yes, we are preparing for the harvest. We are yearning for the harvest. But first and foremost, be devoted fully to God, the Lord of the harvest. That personal seeking. The word entreat means to ask someone earnestly, earnestly. In the Hebrew original, it carries the meaning of travail as a woman in childbirth. All right? Travail as a woman in childbirth. It tells me it is not something casual. It tells me it is something intense. I experienced travail in childbirth 3 times, mother of 3 children. It's hard work. I had to command my entire body, you know, from head to toe, to cooperate in order to get baby out. That is why they call it labor. The breathing, the contractions, the pushing must be well coordinated. I cannot suddenly decide, oh, don't want to do it anymore, you know. Poor baby, stuck in a birth canal. It's sweat, blood and tears. Travail, as in childbirth. Entreat the Lord means we must be focused, not distracted. We must be wholehearted, not half-hearted. Let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord Almighty. The same with the word seek. It means pursue, go after, strive for, work towards, being intentional, being fully attentive, earnestly pursue. Psalm 63 talked about this. Oh God, you are my God. Right here. About relationship with God, right? You are my God. Revival is about returning to right relationship with God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints or longs or pines for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in a sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. Notice that there's nothing random about this. It's not a touch and go relationship with God. It's not an on-off deal. Here the psalmist was earnest. Totally earnest, focused, zealous. The psalmist prized his relationship with God first and foremost above all else. In this year of prayer, may this scripture describe our relationship with God. Psalm 84. I'm choosing very familiar portions of scripture to help you understand. It's not complicated. The word has given us an understanding. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs. Do our souls long for God? Yes, faints for the court of the living God, Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Living God, my growing relationship with Him. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. What are the tents of wickedness? Hey, listen carefully. It can be as simple as what appears on your screen. It's just a swipe of your screen. In this year of prayer, may this words of the psalmist define our relationship with God, our desperation for God, our hunger for Him, our zeal to cultivate friendship with God like never before. I like the words of Charles Wesley. He said, Lord, make my heart a house of prayer. Make my heart a house of prayer. Psalm 27 verses 4 and 8 said the same thing. One thing have I asked of the Lord. One thing. That I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. May this year of prayer, may in this year of prayer, may this be the defining mark of our relationship with God, personally, corporately, as a youth group, and as Church of our Savior. May Jesus be our one desire. We sing about it. You are my all-consuming desire, my all-consuming passion. Don't just sing about it, live it. Choose it. This year of prayer, hear the Lord say to each one of us, seek my face. What will be our answer? Your face, Lord, do I seek. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Make my heart a house of prayer, O Lord. As far as I'm concerned, this year of prayer is truly a call to prayer awakening, a call to seek the Lord, to slow down, to learn, to dwell in His presence. I know in First World Singapore, this is a tall order. Why? Young and old, we face the same crisis. We are hopelessly addicted to busyness. We are always in a hurry. Rushing here, rushing there. For some of us young people here, it's from rushing from tuition to tuition. I don't know. Or from activity to activity. Or we are 6 to 8 hours following social media feed. We always have too much to do. Our schedules are crazy. Sometimes insane, including school-going kids. I think we really need to come back to that place of quietness, seeking God. Social media had definitely made it worse. We are bombarded by all kinds of sound bites and images to compete for our attention. As a result, we live hugely distracted lives. I remember Pastor Lawrence Kong writing to the pastors of the city said that we live hugely distracted lives, as a result of which we suffer from short attention spans, restless spirits, crowded souls, cluttered minds, anxious hearts, and tired bodies. It's not right when we stay awake into the morning tracking social media feed. As a result, waiting in the presence of God, seeking God, the spiritual disciplines of silence, solitude, what's that? Scripture reading, reflection, have become a lost art. Some of you may be thinking, oh, maybe those things are for old people like you. But no, it's in the scripture. If scripture says so, that means it applies to all who love Jesus Christ. I remember when I was a young person like you, school going, I was at university time, I became a Christian. I know how busy the schedule is. But because of being well discipled by pastors and leaders who love me and who care for the young generation, I followed. I followed the good example. When I was at that age, growing up, growing to university, my morning seeking of God was at 4:30 a.m. because my mentor does that. Later on, when I became a mother, my schedule was topsy-turvy and it was impossible. Babies, you know, whoa. So what to do? I rearranged my schedule. It was no longer 4:30 a.m., but it would be at a convenient time when my babies go to sleep. And I mark out that time to be found in the sacred space of looking to God, beholding Him, drawing from Him, learning of Him in silence and solitude, reading His Word, reflecting on His Word, applying His Word, praying His Word. Not easy, but it was worth the effort because God said so. God said so. He said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. This year of prayer, may we recover this lost art. Ravi Zacharias is right when he said, the biggest battle you and I will face in life is your daily appointment with God. Keep it or every other battle will become bigger. This year of prayer, may we resolve to win this most important battle in our lives. Young people, you can do it. It's a matter of how you organize your time. It's not that you don't have time, not that I don't have time, but it's how we organize our times, that daily appointment, because we love Him and so we prioritize that time with Him. Lord, make my heart yearn and long for You. Make my heart a house of prayer. Ultimately, listen carefully, it is for our own good. And it is for the good of all who associate with you and for Singapore. Why do I say so? Scripture said so. For example, Psalm 16:11. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Such a simple scripture. Wow, I think this word is especially meaningful for busy school-going children, for pastors, leaders, for anyone living in Singapore. Why? Because on a daily basis, in our very competitive society that can be quite unforgiving, it is easy for us to feel overwhelmed. It is easy for us to feel miserable on an average day. All right? There can be so many joy robbers, so many irritations, so many hiccups that can throw us off. It is hard to maintain a joyful attitude in the natural. But as God's people, as children of God, we are not supposed to live miserable lives, joyless lives. In fact, joy is supposed to be the mark of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. So how? What to do? The answer is simple. Very simple. Go back to Psalm 16:11. Turn to God, the source of our joy. Psalm 16:11. Take God seriously, right? Take Him at His word. Psalm 16:11 says, the earlier slide says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. So we obey. We practice the presence of God. God said so, so we practice the presence of God. Try it. Experience it. Experience the difference, young people. I challenge you. If I, as a 20-something year old, newly born again believer, university student with crazy uni schedule, lots of assignments to deal with, could do it. I know you can do it. Because we love God. Simply because we love God. Experience the difference. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. Soon you'll be a mobile fountain of joy wherever you go, regardless of the circumstances, for richer or for poorer, in sickness or in health, poor grade or good grades, you know, found job or lost job. No matter, you are a fountain of joy. Because in His presence, you have gained joy. Not only that, not just a mobile fountain of joy, you will be a pillar of strength. Wherever you show up, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. What a powerful witness you become, and what an influential, contagious person you become for the glory of God. All because you took God seriously, since He said, in My presence is fullness of joy. You are found in His presence, and as a result, He saturates you with the supernatural joy. He takes over. He fills you with His presence. Seeking God is good for us, very good for us. Especially in our fast-paced, performance-driven society, we can't cope. We can't keep up. That's why some young people give up their lives. The newspaper said that at least 2 young persons commit suicide a month. No good. Hear the word of the Lord. We can't cope, we can't keep up. Hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah 40 says, He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to those who drop out. Verse 31 says, those who wait upon God get fresh strength. Fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. How we need that. There is truly something precious about seeking God, being in His presence. We experience a divine exchange, huh? Our strength, His strength for my weakness. I remember a time when I was battle weary over some issues. I was exhausted emotionally. Not that slide yet. Don't show that yet. Just show Isaiah 40. I remember I was exhausted emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. I came home feeling very defeated. Guess what? I lay flat on my couch and I waited on God. I was silent for the longest of time. It was like forever. I was just silent, collapsed before my living God, and in my heart, just talking to God, not very many words, no strength even to utter anything sensible. As I waited there before God in His presence, something happened. That's why I can describe it to you. I felt the presence of God flood my soul. The presence of God descended upon me from head to toe. I felt God encapsulate me in a huge capsule of His shalom that felt like jello, you know, soft and sweet. It was tangible. I came out of that experience totally different. The tension was drained out of me. I recognized that something had taken place. The battle belongs to God. I experienced the presence of God even in facing crazy papers to write for university to gain honors. I remember a time we have done all our research as a team. And guess what? Each of us has to write our own paper. All right, based on the research teamwork, each of us have to produce our own paper to, you know, to give our own analysis, our take on this and whatever. Guess what? For weeks and weeks and weeks, I battled and I couldn't crack the whole thing. I couldn't know. I just didn't have an understanding how to begin writing my paper, supposed to be at least 20 pages, and had nothing for weeks and weeks. My friends knew about it. Christian friends prayed politely for me. Non-Christian friends were looking aghast at me. She talks about God. Where is her God? Here she is. Nothing, nothing, you know. And she is worried. Guess what? The Lord's peace flooded my soul. And early one morning, the Monday morning that the paper was due. Paper was due 11:45 a.m. Early morning, 4:30 a.m., I still had no paper written. All right? I was getting ready to say, I'll fail this. I'll not get an honors for my degree. As I sought God, a calm came upon me, and suddenly something happened. Something was dropped right in front of my eyes. It was like a PowerPoint. And on it were words. I could see it makes perfect sense. I took down notes. I was a scribe of God. Introduction, main body, first point, second point, third point, and conclusion. I took down notes. I just knew, oh, I said, this makes perfect sense. This is a great outline for my paper. No time to produce a draft. I just pull out my typewriter, and wow, I felt the presence of God really, quickening my mind and my spirit. And I was stirred, and I suddenly had like a revival that came upon me. Hey, here's a great outline. Just do it. Pull out my typewriter, da, 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 and I made the deadline, 11:45 a.m. You believe it? In His presence, things changed. My cluttered mind was cleared, and I understood clearly, with the help of God, the revelation of the Lord dropping from the heavens. There was fullness of joy. Now, not only that, you must know the end of the story. It led to the salvation of my pre-believer friend, who knew about my whole crisis. All right? She was waiting to see my God fail me, or, you know, no Christian test. But the Lord broke through. Now, guess what? Why did she turn to the Lord? Because my paper scored very high marks. I don't know how. God. And it was read to the whole class as the best paper of the cohort. Can you believe this? Now, understand, up to that moment, I had zero understanding of how to unpack the research. But God came through. In His presence, He downloads things beyond human understanding or human imagination. Amen? Seeking God is very good for us. So you face crises or exams, this, that, whatever. Turn to God. I remember in the exam hall, I was sitting for my Japanese paper, and I suddenly totally forgot a huge chunk of the paper that, wow, would be accounting for 30% of the marks. So I said, God, help me. I laid hands on my paper. I said, God, help me right here. Oh, Lord, help me. Suddenly, I saw the page of the textbook. I just copied the answers. Is that good? There is help from heaven when we seek God. Amen? He is present with us. We just have to cry out to Him. Reach out to Him. Say, God, help me now. Another time, facing a Malay essay paper. I'm from Malaysia. I'm a PR here. There's only one subject given for the essay writing, and it would account for your honors or no honors. And there's one Malay word stuck somewhere there. I don't know the meaning of that word. So I couldn't make sense of that essay topic that we are supposed to write on. What to do? I cried out to God. I said, God, this is crazy. I don't know what this word means. So therefore, I don't know how to answer. I don't know the rest of what it means. I don't know what this question asked for. Therefore, what essay to write? I said, Lord, help me. And as soon as I said, God, help me, the meaning of that Malay word came to my mind as clear as crystal. I read it again. Oh, of course. And I wrote my paper. And I got good marks for that. Is that God? Seek God. He's looking for us to seek Him. Amen? Seeking God is good for us. We live in anxiety city. Seeking God is an antidote to anxiety. Philippians 4 talks about it. Do not be anxious. Tell the person next to you. Do not be anxious about anything. Whether it is Japanese exam or whether it's Malay paper or an essay that you don't know where to begin, right? The research paper. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, what to do? Turn to God, seek God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, expecting answers. Present your request to God. Amen? Hebrews 11:6 talked about this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that He is God. He is God. Believe that He is God and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. year of prayer, the Lord is inviting us to diligently seek Him. He will show up with rewards. Rewards that money cannot buy. Sweet presence is a great reward. His deep abiding peace is a great reward. An illumined mind, for exams, is a great reward. Amen. What a great testimony, church. We must show off our God. Don't shortchange yourselves. Help is available. Help is just a prayer away. Amen. Seek God in this year of prayer. Let us go at once, to entreat the favor of the Lord. What favor? What else? What favor would you ask from God? What favor would you ask from God? Besides exams, besides boyfriend, girlfriend, besides any number of all these very legitimate human needs, how about something more? What favor would you ask from God? Inspired by Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, I would ask for divine discontent. That's the beginning of revival. Divine discontent, like Prophet Habakkuk. We cry, oh Lord, we have heard of your fame. Hey, we have heard of the ACS Clock Tower revival. We have heard of the John Suk revival. Oh, we have heard of the Pyongyang revival. We have heard of the Great Awakening in America. We have heard we are not satisfied with hearing about. We want it in our day. Renew your power in our day. Amen. We deserve your wrath, but remember mercy. Amen? Divine discontent. Singapore is not a failed church, but Singapore is not yet a church that is in a full bloom of revival that God intends. So what do I ask for? Divine discontent. A historic outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes or no? A historic outpouring that is marked by the manifest presence of God. And not only that, the holiness of God, the fear of God, deep conviction of sin, genuine repentance. Amen. Zero tolerance for casual, consumeristic Christianity. A zeal for God to pursue what He delights in and fight against what dishonors Him. Oh, divine discontent, renewed allegiance to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Intense hunger for God, hearts burning for His Word, burning hearts. A revival of evangelistic fervor, burden for the lost, not just love for God, but love for the lost. Amen. Revival for world missions. Singapore, Antioch of Asia, a church for every people, the gospel for every person. All of these are God's will. All of these God wants to give to us. It will come to pass when each one of us seek Him and entreat the favor of the Lord. And it begins with personal awakening. Each one possessed with divine discontent. Each one becoming a seeker of God, entreating Him for His favor. Singapore needs the favor of God. Amen. More so than ever. I'd like to close with this very important experience I had in a night's dream years back. Don't show that slide yet. It was a night dream years back. It fueled my faith. It fired my imagination. The meaning of this dream is as relevant today as ever, if not even more so today than ever. In this dream, a very important pioneer generation nation builder was giving a speech. From the tone of his voice, it was a very important occasion, a national event. He said a lot of very, very important things. Then he made a statement that woke me up. Literally, as well as spiritually, woke me up. And I got out of my bed, took out my little red book, not Mao Zedong's little red book, but my little red book, and I jotted down his very words. Are you dying to know what this nation builder said? Let's look at the screen. He said, it will not be the Platos that will change this nation. It will take the Joshuas to change this nation. Verbatim, unedited. Let's read it together. It will not be the Platos that will change this nation. It will take the Joshuas to change this nation. It stunned me. This pioneer generation nation builder, at that moment, I know he's not a believer. But he said that, and it woke me up. Now pay attention, it's not Pluto, the Disney dog. This is Plato. Get it? Who is Plato? Who is Plato? So when I woke up, I was, ooh, I felt a divine moment right there. And I began to seek out meaning and understanding. I said, God, teach me. What do you mean? And I did my bit of research. Who is Plato? Well, famous Greek philosopher, ancient times, he was immensely influential in Western civilization. He was a student of Socrates, the teacher of Aristotle. Platoism celebrates the power of the mind to reason. Nothing wrong with that. God says we are to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The mind is an important gift from God. Plato's main interests were knowledge, ethics, politics, education. Plato wrote extensively on the best possible forms of government. He wrote about aristocracy, democracy, monarchy. He talked a lot about how the education system should be set up to produce philosopher kings. Wow. In short, Platoism is a celebration of the power of the mind to reason. Who is Joshua? A seeker of God. Humble servant, successor of Moses. Strategist of Israel's battles. But most of all, Joshua was a seeker of God. The Bible had a record of Joshua. Joshua had a great intercessor mentor in the person of Moses, who modeled a life of dependence on Yahweh. Moses was a great intercessor, a prayerful leader, a seeker of God himself. And Moses would often bring Joshua along to this thing called the tent of meeting, which is like a prayer place, tent of meeting. And the word of God says in Exodus 33, even after Moses had finished his business of seeking God, Joshua remained in the tent. Joshua lingered on. Joshua stayed put. Joshua didn't rush off. Joshua didn't say, oh, boss finished, I finished. No, Joshua prayed on. Joshua sought God on his own. Joshua lingered on. When faced with Jericho, Joshua, the seeker of God, turned to God with all of his heart for his specific battle plans. He didn't rely on what was successful in the past, some former template or some former strategy, effective as it was. No, he sought God once again and said, God, what is on your mind? What is the battle plan for now? Facing Jericho, a seeker of God, not presuming on past records, on past successes, but always seeking the mind of God. When faced with defeat, what was Joshua's response? He tore his clothes. He fell face down to the ground, the battle of Ai. And he sought God. What happened, oh Lord? He needed to understand from his commander-in-chief what went on that we were so badly defeated in Ai. And God revealed what happened. Joshua, a leader, was a leader who followed his Moses. Develop a great habit of intimacy and a heart of intercession, just like his predecessor, mentor, Moses. Joshua was a seeker of God. It will not be the Platos that will change this nation. It will take the Joshuas to change this nation. What was the Lord saying? What is he saying? I remember that morning I saw the Lord. And the mornings thereafter, I sought the Lord. I said, God, give me understanding that I may rightly represent you, that I may be a righteous voice to speak your mind. And I understood a few things. Number one, the Lord is saying, this generation and every generation must lead by example, like a Moses. Model a life of prayer, habit of intimacy, heart of intercession. Model a life of humble dependence on God. Prayer is that. Prayer is about humble dependence on God. The proud will never seek God, but the humble will seek God. And say, God, I just don't know how, but you have the answer. I depend on you. And it's not just about the old people modeling it. No, even you as a youth, this generation, every generation, even as a young person, you can be an example to a younger person. So that a younger Joshua generation, those who come after you, after I, will imitate our good example, our godly example, and carry forward that legacy of seeking God, a life depending on God, a right relationship with God. Young people, set that example right in your schools, on your campuses. Model a life of seeking God. Who is in crisis? Turn that moment into prayer. Who has a need among your friends? Turn that into a sacred time of saying, God, help us. What else is God saying? It will not be the Platos that will change this nation. It will take the Joshuas. What else is the Lord saying? The Lord is saying this. In this crazy time in history, disruptive trends and seismic changes, Singapore cannot escape any of that. We will be affected in one way or the other. We are a vulnerable nation. But God says, no fear. I'm with you. He says the people who can save Singapore, who can save nations by bringing real change, the right kind of change, will not be the usual suspects. You know, those intellectuals with brain power, so used to analyzing things, analyzing, rationalizing things at the human level of things, of understanding. We are living at a time where human analysis can no longer cut it because it is end times. We need revelation from heaven. We need wisdom from heaven. God says, I will give you my mind to understand the times, to discern the times and know what to do. God says the real agents of change He selects for the end times will be the God seekers, just like Joshua. They may not have the Harvard degrees, but they have God, who is greater than all the Harvard, Cambridge, Oxford degrees put together. Our God who is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. The real agents of change are the Joshua seekers. They know God. They seek God. They encounter God. They saturate themselves in the presence of God. They draw from the Word of God. Morning by morning, awaken my ear to receive marching orders. They hear His voice. They discern His mind. They pulsate with His heartbeat. And they act on His word of knowledge and word of wisdom. It will not be the Platos that will change this nation. It will take the Joshuas. A church that has a Joshua heart and spirit. Amen. In this year of prayer, be the Joshua. Be the seeker of God. Let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord Almighty. The next slide. I myself am going. Everybody say, I myself am going. Amen. I myself am going. This year of prayer, let's all stand. Personalize this call. Everyone standing. The Lord is saying, personalize this call. Yes, it came from Bishop Renis Ponaya, and the Love Singapore leaders, wow, agree with it because our hearts resonated. And by the way, Bishop Renis Ponaya, the Anglican bishop, constitutionally is the Bishop of Singapore. He doesn't boast about those things. He'd rather keep it quiet, but I announce it to you. In that sense, it is an apostolic word. I myself am going. Lord, we hear you say, 2018 year of prayer, 2019 year of harvest. I myself am going. I go seek your face. The result? Wow, fabulous. We are so changed in his presence. We are so changed because of this living relationship with God, this habit of intimacy and this heart of intercession. We ourselves are so changed. Prayer changes things, but first of all, prayer changes me. And I'm so changed that my classmates, my parents, my neighbors, my colleagues can see the difference in me, and they can't help but see that there's something different about me now. And they say, hey, God is with you. I need what you have. There's something different about you. Hey, you're a fountain of joy. Whoa, here you're a pillar of strength. Nothing shakes you. You're calm, cool, and collected. I think it's your God that's making the difference in your lives, in your life. You're no longer in panic mode as before. What made the difference? Being a seeker of God. Amen. Being changed in the presence of the living God. Having our confidence strengthened in the God who loves us and who loves to help us. Because with him, nothing is impossible. In this year of prayer, personalize this call. Own the vision. Lead by example. Even if you are a 14-year-old, you qualify to lead by example. It's choice, your choice. Set the pace, set the tone. In great unity, with a great sense of urgency, may we all behave. Pray, personally seek God. Be the young man, be the young lady, be the boy, be the girl, after God's own heart. Be the one with divine discontent. Cry out to God and influence others to do likewise. Come, let us go at once. The result is, come, let us go with you, for God is with you. It's a prayer awakening that results in mighty harvest. Amen. Amen. As we turn to God, God will cause Singapore to turn Godwards by our great witness, by our great example. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to just lift up your hands to God right now as the worship team leads us.
There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more.
Sing aloud to the Lord. Let this be your cry.
This.
Yes, Lord, not satisfied
Spirit
with where your
God,
prayer life is.
We wait.
Hallelujah. And say, Lord, there is
you.
Much more.
There must be more than this.
More of you in my life.
There must be more.
Hallelujah.
Than this.
Oh, Lord God.
Oh, breath of
going
God,
deeper with you.
Come breathe.
Yes, Lord.
Within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait.
Lord, let this be your cry to the Lord right now. Lift up your hands in an act of surrender. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Consuming fire.
Lord, there's already a fire in me, fan into flame, oh God. Fan this fire into a greater flame, oh Lord, of passion for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Singing, hallelujah, make this your cry.
Come like a rush.
with all your heart. Let this be your cry to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I invite you to come forward to make a statement on earth as it is in heaven before principalities and powers. Number one, that you belong to God. You are His possession. You are His property. Your life is not your own. And therefore, in this coming forward to make a stand, you're making a stand for yourself and say, Lord, I am all yours. Possess me with your zeal. Fill me to overflowing with the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord God Almighty, I come before you. Number one, that's for yourself. As you come stand here, you are also saying, Lord, my generation needs to be consumed by this passion for your glory, for your name. And it starts with being a seeker of God, a right relationship with God. Amen. This is not like, do you want to come forward or not? I say come forward. Leaders, lead the way. Lead by our example. Everyone come forward. Find some place to stand, to kneel. You're making a stand for yourself and for your generation. And for your future sons and daughters, and your sons and grandsons and granddaughters, down the generations, you say, Lord, all-consuming fire, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. You're saying, Lord, I'm not content where I am. Lord, I'm not content. I want to be hungrier. I want to hunger. I want to be hungry enough to fast. I want to be desperate enough to cry. Lord, I'm not satisfied. I want divine discontent. Lord Jesus, I cry out to you. I long for you. I'm making a statement on earth as it is in heaven. Before my Father, before Jesus, my Savior, before the great crowd of witnesses that's cheering me on, before my family here at Church of Our Savior. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I belong to you. Possess me with the zeal of the Lord. Lord, I volunteer myself, a seeker of God. First and foremost, a lover of God, a seeker of God. Nothing more than that. Lord Jesus, I am yours. Hallelujah. 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 Cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh God, yes Lord, a passion for your name. Not my name, not the name of Church of Our Savior, not the name of Singapore, your name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. A passion for your name. Stir your heart, our soul. Yes Lord, my heart is yours, oh God. Make my heart a heart of prayer, a house of prayer, oh Lord. Lord, ignite me, Lord. Ignite my house of prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, dear Rabakahia. Oh, Rebeshe, dear Rabakahia. Oh, Lord, that's me, Lord. I long, I yearn, I bow before you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God. I choose to set a great example, oh Lord. Start with me. This great revival, start with me, oh Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rebekeda, Rabakande, Bekeda. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing Consuming Fire. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, the fire that is already on my heart's altar. Lord, it's a flickering flame. Oh, Lord, fan it, oh God, into a greater fire. Oh, Lord, unquenchable. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Have your way in my life. I give you permission. Have your full way in my life, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. I am yours. All yours, oh God. Every part of me. Everything about me. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Rabbi Kandi. Your way, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, Rabakade de Shaya Rabakaya. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, my heart is yours. Give me my heart, oh Father. Take over. Take over, Lord. Sing in the spirit. Oh, let the spirit man in you begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, let your anointing fall. Let your spirit fall afresh at each one, oh God. A new anointing, Lord, to seek you. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, the Holy Spirit fall on every heart, every soul, every young person, every older, everyone, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let the cry be loud and strong within us, not dying, oh God. Oh Lord, not wavering. Hallelujah, Lord. A deep stirring. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, Rabakaye. Oh, Rebeke, Rabakaye. Oh, Rebeke, Rabakaye, Rabakaye. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit with all of your heart and say, God, oh Lord, I am available. Oh Lord, I am your chosen vessel. I am your Joshua. Name, inscribe it on our hearts, an undying passion for your honor, oh God. Yes, Lord. want all of us to stand right now. Join your hands. Let's say this after me. Let us go at once. Say after me, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. I myself am going. Lift up your hands to Him. Lift up your hands to Him. Holding hands together. We ourselves will be going. We go, we go. Oh yes, Lord, together seeking your face. Hallelujah. And let's pray together right now in closing. Lord, you call us to be a Joshua generation, to change this nation. You say it will not be the Platos that will change this nation, but it will take the Joshuas. We volunteer ourselves to be the Joshuas, the Joshua generation, the seekers of God, to do as you please. Hallelujah. To bring godly change to this nation. Oh Lord, to bring kingdom change to this nation. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Singapore as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's cry out to God and say, yes, Lord. Let's open our mouths and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We are the Joshua generation. We are the Joshua generation. Seekers of God. Seekers of God. Say that. We are the Joshua generation. We are the seekers of God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give the Lord a strong applause and say, Lord, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. By your Spirit, we seek you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, we are ready to be serious with you. Just felt God ask me, what would you give to see this nation, see your family, see your schools, see your family, see your friends on fire? What would you give? What would you put on the altar of your private life? What would you give? He gave everything to see you on fire. What would you give? Give Him your time. Give Him your heart. Rebuild your altar. Come back to God in prayer. Some of you here had a burden on your heart for the longest time and you have grown tired of travail. You have no strength to birth something forth in prayer. God's calling you. Come back. Come back and push. Come back to me. I give you the strength to persevere in prayer. Come back to me. And God is giving each one of you here a vision for your schools, for your friends around you. You're not there by chance. He will give you a burden to press in prayer for. God, we are ready for you. We are serious to do business. And we will go.
I was much younger. There was this one worship session where I literally fell on my knees and I cried out to God, God, my generation will be the generation that seeks your face. Throughout the years, I got tired of holding on to that dream. I lost the dream. I lost the faith. But today, I see before me a generation that will seek the face of God. Every one of you here in this auditorium, you will make up that generation that will seek the face of God. Today, God is asking me to dream again. And I pray that we will all dream together. That not just you guys will be that generation, but the people in your schools will be that generation that seeks the face of God. Not just in Coos Youth. Not just in Singapore. but in all the nations everywhere, the youths will rise up to seek the face of God. Father, as one generation, we stand before you and say, we want to seek your face. We want to dwell in your presence. It is because in your presence we find the fullness of joy. We find the strength to carry on. Father, may this be the generation that seeks your face, that pursues you endlessly just as you have pursued us. Father, may this generation be the generation that you empower to speak truth, to speak love, to preach the gospel. Father, may this generation be the generation that will be a light in darkness, that will be hope where there is no hope, that will be truth where there is lie. Father, I pray that we will be a generation that clings on to you. Father, that we will be a generation that is willing to lay down our lives, every single bit of our lives, to pursue you. Father, I pray that this generation will be, in each and everyone's life, a house of prayer that will intercede, that will pursue the things on your heart, O Lord.
God, we praise you. You are faithful. And we are here solely by your grace. And only by your grace we stand. Father, I thank you that you do not make us a people with no purpose, but you give us a people, give us passion, you give us purpose. So God, as we go from here, we go bearing your purpose on our hearts. That every heart here will be a house of prayer. A house of prayer not just for ourselves, but for the nations, for the schools. And God, I pray that each one of us, he will go from here, this place, wanting to go back to restore that secret place with you. That we go back to dwell in our tent of meeting. It is not once a week in service, but every day we want to come back to you to experience who you are, because you are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of all praise, God. You are worthy of all praise. God, you are worthy of all praise. So God, we lift up all our hearts to you. Would you bless each one of these hearts here, all our hearts as we go forth, that we will learn to steward our tent of meeting with you, that we learn to keep our fire and fan it. As we sang for your consuming fire, teach us to steward the fire you have placed in us. Father, we particularly lift up to you all our champions who have been contending for their schools, that you will strengthen them, that they continue to press on in prayer for their schools and their friends. So God, we praise you. They are a good God who will accomplish everything that we cannot do. And we thank you for everything that you have been doing in our midst, in this nation. So Father, we thank you for who you are and what you have done. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Shall we give God a clap offering? Come. So guys, practical actions. This is not just going to be a calm and emotional high. I think we must always convert our commitment into action. So I want all of us to take our call very seriously. That when we go back home after today, come back to God. Rebuild your altar of worship with Him in your bedrooms, wherever you are. I think that's really so important. Shall we do that? Okay, keep each other accountable for this, okay? Let's also thank Auntie Lai King who shared with us. Thank you, Auntie Lai King. She obediently shared whatever she sensed God saying. I think that is the posture that I've learned from her, and I think that is the greatest lesson we can take back, to simply hear and obey everything God is saying. So, service is over. See you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.